lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been looking at biblical church structure. And we've been looking at the qualifications for a pastor in a local church. Let me remind you that the information that I'm supplying to you is a biblical church structure. It's taken from the book by the same name, Biblical Church Structure, and it's written by Pastor Dr. Andy Bloom of Central Baptist Church of Ocala, Florida. And as we look into what he has given, keep in mind that everything that I'm giving you comes from this book. Now, I'm not giving you everything, but what's coming from this book, from Dr. Bloom, is scriptural. It's all based upon the Word of God. Now, we've been looking recently about the qualifications for pastor. Actually, many people do not understand how many qualifications the pastor should have. And actually, I'm listing those right now. And I would remind you that if you would like to hear all of the lessons about biblical church structure, you can go to one of our websites, and those addresses will be given to you at the end of the program. But there is actually 23 qualifications that I see from the Word of God. And many people think that a man, if he simply wants to be a pastor, that's all that's necessary. But God has set down prerequisites for the pastor. In other words, things that the person must meet in order to be the shepherd of a flock, the man of God, the pastor who is leading that flock. And once again, I see 23 qualifications that this person must meet in order to be a pastor. Well, last time we left off with number 16, and actually we looked at number 16, the 16th qualification for someone to be a pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." That good report means that person should have a good reputation. And those who are without, are those who are not Christians, those who are not saved. In other words, when a person looks at that pastor, he should not be able to say anything against that man of God. A good report means a good reputation as a saved man. And then we read in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, "For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to virtue or wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." Now, we've talked about this before. That means he's not self-willed. He's not a man who holds to his own stubborn determinations. The pastor is actually governed by the Word of God, and that's what he sticks with. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." That pastor will hold fast his profession in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he will simply proclaim Jesus saves. He will stand upon the Word of God. Well, the pastor is not soon to be angry. He doesn't get angry. And Titus 1:7 once again says, "Not soon angry." In other words, not apt to be inflamed about every opposition. The pastor is one who is not apt to be inflamed, or as we look at that, on every opposition. This is one who has a proper command over his own temper. He controls his temper. And Titus chapter 1 and verse 8 goes on to say, another qualification is this, "But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate." But notice that part that says a lover of good men. And we see this in several scriptures, and we're going to read that. In other words, he loves the brethren. Titus 1:8, once again, a lover of good men. Well, the good men spoken of here, I believe, is speaking of those who have trusted Christ as Savior. And we also, as saved people, are to love the brethren according to the Bible. This man, he loves the good others do. He not only sees the person as a child of God, but he looks at that person. He sees the good in them. He sees the good that others do. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned," that means pretentious love, pretending, it's not pretend. It says, "through the Spirit unto unfeigned," and the real love of the brethren, "see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth his brother abideth, who loveth not his brother abideth in death." And then Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 23, "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." We see at the same time, we are also to love those who are not so lovable. Because Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 talks about this, and Christ said, he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them and them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Once again, that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Well, the pastor, he's to love the brethren according to the scriptures. And then we also see that the pastor is just. Titus chapter 1 and verse 8 talks about this. He does not respect one person over another. And a pastor is one who is upright and sincere in his conversation with the saints. In other words, his behavior. And he's faithful in his conduct and his counsel, his admonitions and reproofs to everyone. He doesn't make any difference. He has no favorites. And once again, he does not respect one person over another. The pastor has the same respect for people as God does. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." That pastor is to be a just person who does not have favorites. And as a child of God, neither are we. We're not to have favorites. In other words, we're to treat people the same. Now, the old human nature steps in every now and then and gets in the way. But you and I, as the children of God, just as a pastor, we're not to have favorites when it comes to the Word of God and according to the Word of God. And the people of this world, God loved them so much. He loved everyone so much that he gave Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God treats everybody the same. He is no respecter of persons. Well, we're not to be either, and especially that pastor. The pastor is not to have favorites. He's a just man. And then we see that the pastor's holy. Well, now, he's not perfect, but he exhibits a godly character wherever he is or whoever he's with. Now, Titus 1:8 says holy. That means he's saved. A pastor is one who is devout towards God, constant in all religious exercises, in the closet. That means when he's by himself, in the prayer closet or wherever he is, he is constant with his family, with the church, and he lives soberly. In other words, he makes right decisions. And he lives righteously and godly in the world. Well, number 22 on the list of qualifications for a pastor is the word temperate. Chapter 1 and verse 8 of Titus again uses the word temperate. In other words, he's able to control his temper in difficult situations. We see that some of these qualifications overlap one another. There's little differences here. Temperate, without extremes, in other words. A pastor is to be able to control his emotions. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 goes on to say, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Well, holding fast the faithful word. A pastor is to be unwavering concerning true doctrines of the gospel. He should not back down on what the Bible says. He's to hold fast to the truth of the Word of God. He's to be in opposition to one who would try to tear down the Word of God. Doesn't mean he's going to be mean. Doesn't mean he's going to lose his temper. But he's going to stand his ground because his ground is upon the Word of God. His ground is the Word of God. The man who is pastor would be one who is in opposition to all false teachers and to all systems of false philosophy. He doesn't back down. He doesn't give in to any cult, to any false doctrine that comes along, but he stands firm upon the Word of God. Well, I said 23 qualifications. Let me give you one more. Titus chapter 1 and verse 14 says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Well, in other words, not given to Jewish fables. They're commandments of men that do this or do that the way I see it. Some men would say, but no, you do what God says to do from His Word. The pastor is to steer clear of myths and legends that's devised by men. And this is something that many men who are in the pastorate, I believe, I've seen this in the past, how that men will give in to the pressures that some people would put up on them. They would give in, and they get away from the Word of God. We were not to do that. A pastor is not to get away from the Word of God. The man of God who is a pastor is to stand firm upon the Word of truth, and that Word of truth is the Word of God. And I keep reminding you that the Word of God is the King James Bible. It is the Word of God. It's God-breathed. And that's what we have to guide and direct us today, is His God-breathed Word. He breathed it into existence. Well, he used men to pen down the words, but it's God-breathed. It's given by the Holy Spirit of God. And you and I need to be standing upon the Word of God, just as the pastor is to stand upon the Word of God. Well, the next thing that we want to look at, the next subject, the next person that we want to look at, based upon the Word of God, is the deacon. And this is part of the biblical church structure. A pastor, the deacons, and of course, we don't want to forget that the individuals who make up that local church, the church of the Lord, are the people. So we have the pastor, we have the deacons, and we have people. But we want to look at the term deacon and go into it. Now, we're just going to touch on it right now. But notice this, that what Pastor Bloom states about this. He states that the pastorate, or the pastor is a watchman and overseer, a watchman as regards the spiritual oversight of the congregation, and an overseer as regards the physical and financial decisions of a church. And next time, we're going to pick up here now, and I'm going to continue on. I'm going to tell you something else that Pastor Bloom says as we look into the office of the deacon to see the qualifications that this person is to have, how that the person is to be a man, not a woman, a man who is serving God. May the Lord bless you as you serve the Lord, and I pray that you are saved and that you are on your way to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.